Doug's got his red, white, and blue on today.
USA! USA! Come on, Grant, say it with me. USA! Jay, say, hey, USA! Chris, let me get one. USA! Come on, baby. Chris, turn on the mic.
Chris roots for a team in New England. He ain't American. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, Chris. He's killing you, baby.
I'm not killing him. I'm being honest.
That's right.
He's not part of the country.
USA, repping out.
I mean, and his favorite team isn't even in the country.
You do have a point.
You're darn right I have a point.
Damn, Chris, come on, man.
Yeah, come on.
He said he's going tomorrow to see U.S. soccer in San Jose.
Yeah, right.
You're just going with some buddies to drink and see the big bar. That's what you're doing.
Have fun. It's supposed to rain all day, dude. Enjoy yourself.
Ah, man.
Can they kick the little white ball around when it's raining? Oh, they can?
Yeah. Right. Oh, no doubt.
How would I know?
It was invented in England. They have to.
Ooh.
Soccer was invented in England?
He dropped one on you.
He did.
And then he turned his mic off. Well played.
So how many guys are going to be laying down on the field after they slipped and they feel like they got to get carried off on a stretcher, and then 30 seconds later they're back on looking like Pele in his prime?
Come on, man.
Am I wrong?
No, soccer is awesome, man. I can't even.
Am I wrong?
I mean, They sell it. But come on, man. If you're not a soccer fan, Grant, come on. You'll be a soccer fan.
I only root for two teams. I root for the Sacramento Republic.
That's what I was about to say.
And I root for Arsenal. Those are my two teams I root for. I don't root for anybody else. I don't care about anybody else.
What are you guys, the Wookers?
No, the Gooners.
The Gooners?
Yeah.
The Gooners. Get the hell
well,
out of
here. Well, ask Chris. He knows. He understands what it's all about.
Yeah, Chris.
Chris, what's the nickname for the team you root for? What is it, Manchester City?
The City.
What is it?
City or the Blues
the
or
city?
Whatever.
All right, what
the
about
city,
your...
The Blues.
All right. What about the other team in Manchester that you're not allowed to say? Do they have a nickname?
The Red Devils.
The Red Devils.
It sounded. You hear how he said that? There was a little twinge on it.
The Red Devils.
The Red Devils.
What's wrong with you, dude? I mean, seriously.
They must smack you guys around over there a little bit, huh?
Why do you think they sell so much alcohol at the games?
Hey, well, tomorrow, Chris will be turned all the way up.
Where you going tomorrow? You going to San Jose?
Yeah.
What time does that game start?
7:30.
All right.
Who are they playing?
Honduras.
Honduras. Okay.
Who's playing Honduras?
The U.S.
USA Soccer.
Seriously?
Come on. Yeah. Napier? They're going to be right here, repping out, doing some things.
How many people do you think will be at that game?
Oh, it'll be packed.
No, I'm not asking you. You won't know. How many people are going to be at the game?
Come on,
it'll be a sellout.
See? What do you mean I don't know?
You have no idea. How many people, Chris?
It'll be a sellout. Grant, I was a soccer player before I was
a hooper. Honduras and the United States is going to sell out.
Yeah, man.
Just so you know, the good news is the rain's supposed to stop by the time the game starts. It's supposed to rain all day tomorrow. Going to be a sloppy track. You know that, right, Chris?
Grant.
It's going to be a sloppy field. I'm just telling you.
Real men and women playing rain.
I'm just telling you. Rain from about 9 a.m. all the way until about 5, and then light rain.
And real fans stay in the rain as well.
It's not supposed to rain once the game starts, so it's not a problem.
Yeah, okay.
Honduras got a good club, Chris?
U.S. should beat them.
U.S. should beat them.
Yes.
U.S. got a new coach, right?
Yeah.
Is that the team?
Yeah, Bruce Arena.
All right, see? I like Bruce. I'm a fan of his.
You know Bruce?
I know the name very well. Very synonymous with soccer in this country.
Okay.
Yeah?
Klinsmann?
You know what? I have nothing against Klinsmann, but everybody was ripping him to shreds like it was his fault. You know, they didn't have good enough players. Why are you blaming that on him?
They tried to German engineer it.
Well, guess what? Let's put Germany's record in the World Cup against the United States.
Oh, boy. Well, you can't do that.
No, you're darn right you can't do that.
Well, it didn't work here. Let's see what arenas
can do. Wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't.
Right, Chris? Klinsmann fault for the United States?
The players didn't want to play for him anymore.
There you go. They didn't want to play for him. They quit on him.
Rebellion.
That's exactly right.
Get the hell out.
Right?
That's pretty much what happened.
They said they didn't want to play. They didn't want to play for him anymore.
Inmates running the asylum, huh? That's how we're doing it?
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, it sounds like. Is that what happened, Chris? Okay. He said he's got on to New England that he's not from America.
He's not. He's not involved in this conversation. I wouldn't surprise me if he's going to root for Honduras tomorrow.
That's spoken like a true American. I mean, a true New Yorker right there.
No, I'm serious. I'll tell you right now, we get someone to take a picture of Chris at the game, he may have a Honduras hat on.
Were they blue and white? Is that their colors? I think they're blue and white. We're going to be looking for you, Chris. Don't sell us out, son.
All right. Garrett Temple, 3:30. So we'll have the Garrett Temple show at 3:30. Tracy Murray, UCLA radio analyst at 4:30 as they get ready to take on Kentucky tomorrow. Sweet 16 begins tonight, and we can talk about that. Kings, I give a lot of credit to Milwaukee. It's the first game in a while where I was like, I didn't think the Kings' young players other than Buddy Hield played very well, and that's what you're going to get with rookies. You know, you're not going to get, you know, top-of-the-line performances every game. It doesn't happen. I was impressed with Buddy Hield, but I'll tell you this. Giannis Antetokounmpo is one of the best players in basketball.
Oh, my.
Yep.
I will tell you. You know, I was looking, and I was like, this is education for a lot of the players. Namely, I was looking at Scal and seeing how he went about his business against him. But you got to know, ladies and gentlemen, that Giannis does that against everybody.
Yes, he does.
That's what makes him special.
I was on the drive this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I said something that really, really bothered me in the game last night, all right, to a point where when I was announcing the game, I actually got upset.
Uh-oh.
Not on the air, but inward. I was upset. And I will tell you this, and I'm not just saying this because it sounds good.
Okay.
If I had been on the court, it would have been different. Jason Terry makes a three and gets booed and gives it to the crowd. And I'm like, okay, the first time. Then he makes another three, and in my opinion, it was way excessive. And I'm saying to myself, you know what? I'm hoping that somebody on the court sends him a message the next time he touches the ball. Now, I'm not saying hurt him. I'm not condoning creating injury.
Right.
But I'll tell you right now, if I had been, and I'm not saying this, I'm not trying to be like Goody Two Shoes here. I'm telling you what I would have done.
Right, right.
I would have given him a real hard foul. And had it been a little overboard and I would have been fined, I would have taken one for the team. I just think that you cannot allow a player. And it was very interesting because Katie said, it's interesting you say that because Darren Collison was in the huddle stating, you can't let someone come in and punk you like that and punk your crowd like that. And yet nobody did anything about it.
Grant,
give me your thoughts.
I got it right here. Darren Collison, don't punk us in our own gym. I wrote it down post-game and... It was him, and it was
Spencer Hawes.
Spencer Hawes.
Spencer,
as well.
To me, was not nearly as egregious as Jason Terry. Jason Terry did not stop. First, it was arms outstretched. Then it was the hand against the ear,
mm-hmm.
and then he stopped and did the hand against the ear. And I mean this. Had I been playing, the next time he touched the ball, he would have gotten a really hard foul. And if they had called it flagrant, fine. I would have paid the fine.
That's called laying some wood on somebody.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm telling you, I would have done that.
And that is where I think the Kings ultimately will get to where they take things personally. And when people come in and they disrespect you and they disrespect your team and your house and all those different things, you stand up and you understand that. And for the
you
fact,
agree with me, by the way?
Oh, yeah. You gotta smack. And sometimes you run through a three-point shooter or a shooter. Sometimes you get them down low where people aren't seeing, but you know it. Or you got to draw the line in a way where there's a little bit of – it creates tension. That's what has to happen. There's bumping. There's pushing. You're going to have to get him off his game because you can't let a player continue to do that. And especially – now, sometimes you can't stop a player because they're that good, Grant, for instance. But you got to let them know that you're not just going to be able to do that all night.
All right. Ty Lawson was in court today.
Oh.
And according to the Denver Post – Ty Lawson had tested positive for alcohol on three separate times since the beginning of his probation. And according to the Denver Post, he also failed to complete the community service portion of his probation. However, at today's hearing, Ty Lawson pleaded not guilty to violating his probation. And thus, because of his non-guilty plea, a probation revocation hearing has been set now for May 4th. Of this coming year. At the May 4th hearing, a judge will decide whether or not Ty Lawson violated his probation. If he is in violation of his probation as deemed by the judge after the hearing, he could be subject to jail time. But again, the hearing has been postponed, not postponed, but moved until May 4th.
Man. I mean, you really, again, we're in the same situation that we were before, Grant. I mean, there's not really anything that you can say about it. I mean, they're reporting that something happened, but if we speak on that and then the judge comes back and says, you know what, he's not in violation, well, where does that put you then? So May 4th is the date.
So I just wanted to put that out there because we thought that there would be some we thought there would be a decision made today, but there is no decision. And so he pleaded not guilty for violation of his probation. And again, it will be May 4th.
Yes. Guilty until proven innocent. We shall see.
All right. Innocent until proven guilty.
Did I say the opposite?
You said guilty until proven innocent.
No, you just said that.
No, you said that.
No, you just said it. If we rewind it, you said it.
I know,
now
but
I'm
going to
say
first.
It the right way. Okay,
yes.
So now we're playing tit for tat just because I said it first.
I'm trying to correct you.
I appreciate it. Innocent until proven guilty.
So according
guilty.
To Jesse Aaron Paul, who's a reporter for the Denver Post, he put out on Twitter two messages from Ty Lawson's attorney. One said, we want to get on that smart start so Mr. Lawson can prove he's not using alcohol. And then Jesse Aaron Paul said the smart start wouldn't be for Ty Lawson's vehicle. It would be just something he would have that would periodically test him. I'm not familiar with that. I don't even know what it is.
I was about to ask you.
I don't
smart
know.
Smart start sounds like something that you put on your car. I believe that it is. You have to blow into it.
I don't believe he drives.
Okay, well, if he is. So if you want to drive your car, you have to blow into it. And if it isn't registering that you are.
Interesting. Okay, so that's what that is.
Yeah.
So he said it wouldn't be for his vehicle. It would just be for. Listen. I'm going to say this and understand that he will have his day in court on May 4th.
Right.
All right. His attorney has no idea what Ty Lawson is or is not doing.
Correct.
All right. So
normally,
does his attorney travel and live with Ty Lawson? Does he go on the road? I haven't seen him.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But
I'm not saying Ty Lawson's drinking or doing anything that he shouldn't. I don't know that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is an attorney, of course, is going to say that. But, you know, his attorney has been, you know, steadfast about this and about that. The attorney doesn't know. He's defending his client, and I respect that.
Yeah, as well
but,
he should.
But he has no idea.
Wow. Well, now, May 4th is the date, so we shall wait and see.
So I'll tell you what that means. It means he's going to continue, barring a rules violation with the Sacramento Kings. In other words, we've been very open about this. You know, I've had some people say, well, gee, you know, they're changing the culture. They traded DeMarcus. They cut Matt Barnes. Why is Ty Lawson still on the team after the report came out? And I said, well, that's just a rumor. How are you going to cut somebody based on rumor if you don't have the facts? Now, if Vlade Divac has the facts, that's one thing.
Right.
But he doesn't. And so don't you have to wait until you have proof that he violated his probation?
Absolutely. Otherwise, you wouldn't be waiting to May 4th because they would already have all of the information that they needed to prosecute, do whatever they need to do. But since they haven't, you have to wait. And I say you, I mean Sacramento Kings fans, Sacramento Kings organization, and obviously Ty Lawson as well.
All right. So we wanted to get that done. Michigan, Oregon, Purdue, Kansas, West Virginia, Gonzaga, and Xavier, and Arizona all playing tonight. Then I think a lot of people are really looking forward to the game tomorrow with UCLA and Kentucky with Fox and Ball matching up. That should be a lot of fun, but we are down to the Sweet 16. And again, the first game starts in a little less than 1 hour.
It will be awesome. That's the word that I'm going to use. I think that you're going to see some of those games, Grant, that you have been talking about. Did you get a chance to see LeVar Ball this morning?
I did.
You did?
I just watched it a little snippet the next door. He's delusional. That's what he is. He's
you know
delusional.
What? I'm going to say this, Grant. I'm not saying he's genius, but he understands exactly what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
He is Kardashian-esque with using the social media, his platform to produce monetary gains. And I don't look at him as crazy. Some people, nah. I don't see that. As he was going back and forth with Stephen A., he was kind of laughing, and you can tell he understood exactly what he was doing and what he is doing to help monetize what his kids are doing.
We'll see. You know, yes. I mean, his kids are still amateurs.
This is true.
We'll see, right?
Yes. Well, you know, he almost guaranteed that UCLA, obviously he said they're going to win the national championship, but he almost guaranteed, hey, they're going to beat Kentucky. So that, from that standpoint, it's going to be big to see what his son does on that stage. And his son, I have to say, man, the way he plays is smooth and effortless. He reads the floor. He understands the game. He's 2-3-4 moves ahead. And that's going to be a heck of a game. You are correct, Grant.
All right. 339-1140 is the local number. Again, that is 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Garrett Temple is going to be coming up in just a little bit. Let's check in with AC. Hello, AC. How are you?
Hey, guys. I got to tell you, we were talking about my friend who didn't want to call in the other night. And you guys went off and stuff. We were cracking up. That was one of the funniest things I've ever heard on the radio. It was really funny.
Glad you enjoyed it, buddy.
Yeah, his wife was in the car listening to the radio at the same time, and she was laughing. So, good job.
Thank you.
Regarding the Jason Terry thing, I told my wife last night that I'm a season ticket holder with a group of people. I want to make sure that I have a Milwaukee game next year. Because just to go to boo Jason Terry.
He probably won't be on the team next year, but that's okay.
Yeah, he might not be. But with the part that's annoying, if it was LeBron James or someone who was actually in their prime and a star in the league, it'd be different. But he's a punk. His best days are way behind him. And for a punk to punk is probably the most egregious form of slander, whatever you want to call it, that there is. So anyway,
I just think I was waiting for a hard foul, and I didn't see it, and I was disappointed by that. I'm just being honest. I got to tell you, and again, I hate to keep on going back to when Doug played. You would have never seen that when Doug's on Doug's team.
No.
Bobby Jackson or myself.
Yes.
But you know what I'm saying?
And especially if we're going to bring it into the huddle and say, hey.
Yeah, and talk about it.
Okay.
And again, I'm not condoning on her injuring someone. That's not what I'm saying here.
No, but that's where maybe Scotty would say, bring him over my way. And as he's coming through a pick, he's going to get a little something. That's part of the game. It's just
Scott. Bring him over my way.
Hey, I'm just saying.
That's
I love him, man. He's awesome.
Bring him over my way.
Bring him over my way. D. I was like, okay, he'll be coming because he'll be following me.
Bring him over my way.
I love him to death, man.
Right?
He's the best. Yes.
I just again, I hope I'm not nitpicking here. That's one of the things that bothered me in the game last night.
No, and I think especially then seeing his comments at halftime. Did you see that? Jason Terry's
I didn't know it until this morning when they told me about his comments. But he was right. There was no resistance.
And that is where, as Kings, they have to learn how to do that. And I thought that a little bit of it, like when I was watching Scal, I thought Scal was, you know, a little bit in awe of Antetokounmpo and the things that he could do.
I was, too.
Yeah, and... It's a learning process, and I've been there with older players.
I haven't seen anybody stop Antetokounmpo this year.
No, you haven't. But you got to get physical with him. He's a guy. I was saying up there as I'm watching Grant. I said, Scal has to learn that when his guy, like a guy like that, gives the ball up, you don't let him catch it back.
Right.
Antetokounmpo does not, to me, look like a guy like Kobe who's really gonna fight to get the ball back. He might go away. We don't know. We haven't seen anyone play him that way yet.
All right. Again, 339-1140 is the local number. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, a small thing, but I was hoping to see it and did not. I don't want to blow it out of proportion here. Again, I'll tell you, Milwaukee looks good. They're better than I thought they were.
Yes. You know what? Obviously, 16 three-pointers. I think they were a little bit, you know, out of their mind once they started hitting. Again, Mirza Teletovic is a guy who's been a Kings killer. You know, size can knock down a shot. But Chris Middleton, a guy, only 13 points last night, Grant, but a guy who, since he's come back, has really helped solidify them. And then Malcolm Brogdon, who, as a rookie, I mean – you know, impressive to go out and be able to do the things that he's doing. And then, obviously, it all started. Because when I look at this, Grant, through first quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, the score is tied, 72 points apiece.
Right.
It was a second quarter.
Yes.
You got outscored by 18, you lose by 18. That's where it
That's
all
right.
happened. Yeah.
All right, Daryl, you're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Been a long time since I called in. You know, bottom line, we need to find ourselves a role player that's going to come in and knock some heads once in a while, come in the beginning of the third quarter when for some reason we're always having a slump, and be able to be able to stop five extra points and put five extra points up for a 10-point swing. It'll come in like a 8-minute all-out or get-out, kind of like what we used to have with the Big Nasty, and have a 10-point swing and have somebody that we could throw in there.
Well, you know, oddly enough, Kings had a guy like that in Matt Barnes. He was kind of that rough chafe type of player that's going to it's can you get a guy out of his game past basketball? You bump him, you push him, you hold him, you get in his face, you don't let him move. And Kings players are just going to have to learn that. And who's going to take on that that attitude for this team? Is it someone who's on the team now? Or, like you said, Daryl, is it somebody who the Kings are going to get maybe in free agency?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in. I miss the days when we had people like that. So, hey, Chris, Doug, it's been nice having you on the line too.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, thank you. All right, let's get to Nick. Hello, Nick.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
What's happening?
Hey, I just heard on this morning that Harden had a triple double. He didn't miss a shot.
No, that was Westbrook.
Westbrook.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think is MVP right now, Harden or Westbrook?
You know, it's a toss-up. It's difficult to say. I think that the other night, Westbrook really had a chance to solidify against Golden State, and they just kind of went in and did their thing. I'm more on the Westbrook camp, but as Harden is going, Nick, it's going to – I think that the mantra around the league is going to be hard-pressed for him not to be the MVP. I could see there being dual MVPs. Like I said, though, I'm a little bit more on the Westbrook side myself.
That cat, you know, is he a good shooter? I mean, obviously he can get points, but, I mean, sometimes it just seems like he's out of control a little bit.
Yeah, that is – I mean, that's what you get. It's the positive and the negative. He absolutely is full bore, 100%. He gets after it, and then you got a guy like Harden who has taken a team and, you know, expanded his role and turned into just the epitome of what I call Steve Nash 2.0 for Houston this year.
Hey, with that being said, so remember with Curry being on the sack, he didn't get much playing time. Then he's on Dallas, and he's looking pretty good. So is it just the fit, the team fit with some of these guys?
Yeah, a lot of times. I think that when we were really good, that's what happened to a lot of us, whether it was Bobby or myself or Scott Pollard. It was a perfect fit. When you get to a team and things are right and they use your skills to the best of their ability or to the best of the ability for the team, a lot of times, yeah, Nick, it can be the fit, sir.
All right, man. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Have a good afternoon.
Appreciate it. It is 3:26, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
All right, when we come back, Garrett Temple, the Garrett Temple Show next. 11 games left for the Sacramento Kings. Always good each and every week to talk to Garrett Temple as the Kings are getting ready for a late afternoon practice. The Garrett Temple Show brought to you by Wingstop. Garrett, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing well, man. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good. You know, there was one play in the second half last night, and you guys actually scored a basket. And I watched you, and you were trying to teach Scal Labissiere something while the play was going, while you guys were getting back on defense. And I thought it was awesome because you pointed first, then you pointed again, and then you tried to talk to him as long as you could before the play started. So I
know exactly what play you're talking about, too.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us about it.
It was a play that we have where we it's a ball screen and we want to dive out one of the bigs and then set a high ball screen. Tyreek looped over the top of Scal and Willie, I want to say, and then Willie's supposed to set a ball screen, but Scal was supposed to dive opposite to the opposite block, the opposite dunker, which would give Willie room and myself room to make plays. But Scal dove to the wrong side. We ended up getting a three. Tyreek hit a three out of it. But I was just explaining to Scal, you know, that's a play that we've been running the whole season. So he needs to know that play and he needs to execute it. You know what I'm saying?
That is beautiful. Another play, Collison in a timeout talked about the antics of Jason Terry, Spencer Haas, about punking and all that type of stuff. How do you guys teach the young players that you got to make a stance? It doesn't necessarily have to be fighting, but you have to make a stance, especially when you're at home and people, you know, clowning around on the home court.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to continue to tell them and let them know that that's not okay. That, you know, when teams do what they want to do offensively and defensively, then they're going to show out. And, you know, the best way to stop that is to take it to them and not let them beat you in terms of, you know, on the court. So if we're doing what we want to do and we make them uncomfortable on the court, then they have no reason to do what they do. You know, that just comes along with winning and competing and understanding how to be a pro.
You know, you've been through a lot of situations, and you came from, you know, more of a, I don't want to say a veteran team, but more of a veteran team. And now we know what's going on, a lot of the youth playing. And I think a lot of the players look to you for advice, and you are almost like a coach on the floor and in the huddles when you're not playing. You seem to be okay with that role. I mean, I know at this point in your career you want to win, but now it's kind of maybe a little different role than when you first signed here, maybe different than you were expecting. How's that transition going for you, and are you okay with it?
Yeah, it is different, a little different than when I than expected when I first signed here. But I did expect to be in a leadership role, but and not as much, I guess, as I am right now. But it is what it is, man. This is the NBA. This is a business. You know, it's a fluid business. Things happen. And, you know, I feel like one of my best attributes is that I'm able to adapt to any situation. And, you know, I feel like, you know, God put me in this place, in this spot for a reason. And I feel like I can help the young guys and teach them how to be pros, but also just teach them how to play basketball the right way. We got a lot of talented young guys, and it's going to be fun to watch them grow.
Garrett, if playing hard now is a skill in the NBA, adaptability is most definitely a skill, my friend, and one that you do quite well. When you look at Buddy Hield, speaking of adapting, I think that Buddy is starting to adapt a little bit. I thought initially when he got here, maybe a little bit too much dribbling or maybe not understanding the speed and some turnovers. But he's been knocking down his shot at quite a clip, and Grant and I were talking that the way that he's playing, he will be around for a while.
Yeah. Buddy's a guy that, you know, he shows you that he can really score. He can really put the ball in a basket. You know, we know what his patented move is, that spin at the going to the right, going to the left, I want to say, and then taking one step spinning to the fadeaway. He can knock that down. He's able to get into the teeth of the defense. Good mid range player. Again, like you said, he's started to learn how to play without the ball and not chase the ball as much as he did at the beginning since he got here, a month ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's still a process because at the end of the day, he's still a rookie. But he has shown the ability to put the ball in the basket and to shoot the three, which is something that is everybody needs on their team.
Garrett Temple again. The Garrett Temple Show is brought to you by Wingstop. Tomorrow, boy, the Golden State Warriors, and we know they're going for the number one seed. Don't know what the lineup is going to be, but I would think that the message to the guys will be make sure you have them laced up tight, right? Because if not, they're a team that can make you look bad.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Golden State is even without KD, they've been playing well as of late, and obviously one of my guys, Matt is on the team now. He's been playing well for him. I know he's going to be coming at us. As Matt Barnes is supposed to do, but it's going to be a good game, man. You know, they have they play small. We have a lot of guards now, so it's going to be an interesting game. You know, it's going to be a great chance for again the young guys, Scal, Papa, you know, Buddy to get their feet wet in another hostile atmosphere. Like you said, they're going for the number one seed, so there aren't many arenas that get louder than
no.
The one in Oakland.
Garrett, you seem to be getting in a rhythm. I know that, you know, when you miss as many weeks as you did, it's that just it's not like maybe getting on a bike. But I thought last night in particular, I mean, it seems to me that you're almost where you were before the hamstring injury. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel good, man. My shot is feeling good. You know, in terms of I think I'm handling the ball a little more this now than I did before the injury. And trying to make some plays in some pick and rolls, hitting Scal, Willie, and Papa Rolling Coast as well. So I'm feeling good, man. Defensively, I'm where I need to be. Offensively, the shot is feeling good. So I'm happy with where I am.
Now you guys got about 11, 12 games left, Garrett. As you come down to the end of the season and you're trying to tell the young guys how to digest this, not necessarily look back at the records and all those things, what do you? Because I know that the information that they get, it can help them going into the off season. How do you tell them, like you were telling Scal, to digest this information coming their way now?
To just learn, just to continue to try to get better. Continue to play each game, each possession, understand that we're trying to win each game. And, you know, it's a learning process. They got to learn on the fly. So don't think of it as, okay, the season's almost over. Think of it as another opportunity to get better, another opportunity to learn this game. And understand that the more you play, the better you're going to get. So these last 10, 12, 15, 20 games are crucial to young guys, you know. It's much better to have played in some meaningful minutes at the end of the season than not played at all going into your second year.
Garrett, have a great practice. We'll see you a little bit later. Always good having you on. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Grant. All right, Doug.
All right, big man.
Take care. That's Garrett Temple, the Garrett Temple Show, brought to you by Wingstop. The Kings will practice late this afternoon. They'll travel to the Bay Area tonight, take on the Warriors tomorrow, and the Clippers on Sunday. Before returning home for home games Monday and Wednesday of next week. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, we'll be right back on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, we are with you, Grant Napier, Doug Christie. Our thanks to Garrett Temple. NCAA Sweet 16 coming up in a little bit. We'll talk about that. Kings play the Warriors tomorrow. And Doug sporting the American flag gear today after the phenomenal performance by Team USA last night.
USA, USA. You know what's up, Grant. Yeah, actually, you know, I tuned in once I got home, and then it went over, and I watched some of the replay, and I was excited for them, man. And they looked excited, Grant. It was good. I think it's going to continue to build. It may not build to the level that, you know, obviously World Series and all that, but it's going to build because it means so much more to the other countries. You could see it.
I was doing the Jim Rome show today.
Yeah.
And I talked about my lack of interest in it, that I'm more caught up in the Sweet 16 and I'm more caught up in the start of baseball on the opening day and blah, blah, blah. And so I said, I put the question out there, tell me how you feel about it. Are you a fan of the World Baseball Classic, and did you watch last night? I'm not exaggerating. Phones lit up.
Really?
Coast to coast. I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
Coast to coast, nonstop phone calls from people from all parts of the United States. And I mean all parts. And they were super positive about it.
That's what's up. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, America, for supporting me and Grant killing me. And
I'm not killing you. I just said that I was surprised by that.
Well, you said you weren't going to tune in. You weren't supporting me. You weren't killing me. You weren't supporting me.
Yeah, and I'm not. Listen, do I think that, how do I want to say this? There were 51,000 people at the game last night, okay?
Okay.
The problem I have, why is a game of this magnitude, if it is as big as we think it is, what's it doing on the MLB network? A lot of people don't even get the MLB network. I mean, seriously, if you want to make it a big deal, put it on, you know, ESPN, put it on Fox, put it on, you know, I'm sorry, but not a lot of people get the MLB network. Well, and that's the reality of the situation.
Network executives have not bought in the same way that you have not bought in yet. But once they understand that there's money to be made, they will change their tune.
You think so?
Yeah, it will change to money, 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 money.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, again, I still think they really need to have I think you need to have top of the line pitchers. You know, that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know, did we see a well-pitched game last night? Yeah, we did. But
yeah. Stroman was...
But if you're really going to get TV ratings, you need Clayton Kershaw out there. You need Madison Bumgarner out there. You need David Price. I can go on down the list. You know what I'm saying? Well, not David Price. He hasn't won a big game in his freaking life, so forget about him. But you know what I mean?
Damn, Chris. You know, it's always funny. Whether we're on the air or off the air, I always like talking to you because you always say something to me like that that just makes me go, damn, Grant.
Am I? No. Maybe the last time David Price won a big game.
He was in Tampa Bay, I think.
And Boston and Toronto. The guy can't win a big game if his life was on the line.
Well, maybe he's going to do it. Where's he at? Boston right now? I can't even believe that you're speaking about him. You and Chris Verlade going back and forth. Boston.
He's hurt.
He's hurt?
Yes.
What's wrong with him?
A little elbow issue. Got an issue.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got it. So he won't even be playing this year?
He'll be playing. But he's just, you know, they are a little concerned about him right now. Right, Chris?
No juice? Doesn't have the juice?
I'm not saying what he has and what he doesn't have. All I'm saying is he's got some issues and he's concerned with his arm.
You're hoping that he pitches to the Yankees that way, though, I'm sure.
You know what? I'm not even going to make a comment on that because that would be uncalled for.
Come on, man.
Listen, I lost my shortstop because of this World Baseball Classic. You think I'm going to support a World Baseball Classic when guys are getting hurt? Right? Didn't Hanley Ramirez get hurt 4 years ago? Yes, he did. He broke his hand or whatever.
It's part of the game, Grant.
Spring training, baby.
They could get hurt opening in spring
day.
Training.
Opening day, the week after next. Bring them on. Let's play some real baseball here.
No real baseball.
Let's play some real
baseball. Last night.
Let's play some games that count.
That counted?
What did it count for? It didn't count for squat.
They got their first championship. They had never even been to the semis. Or they've been to the semis and lost. Never been to.
It's a new tournament. They've only had it twice. Come on.
Doesn't even matter, man. It Olympics started sometime, Grant. The World Series started sometime, Grant.
Because the baseball is not an Olympic sport, so this is you're made to go Olympics. This is what this is.
Okay. Well, Olympics are pretty damn big.
Not big enough for baseball.
Obviously not.
They said nope, no baseball.
That's just despicable.
But yet you have golf.
Right.
No, really. Who's come on.
You got a good point there, man. I guess, you know, go where the money's at. Golf, when you look at golf, they have big-time sponsors on golf. Notice some of the sponsors on golf, Grant?
Oh, yeah.
Mercedes.
Oh, yeah, no, they're big time.
Big.
Yeah, and, matter of fact, we're 2 weeks away from the Masters.
Yes. You ever been?
I have not.
I haven't either.
So right in the middle of the season, yeah. But if I ever had a day off and I had a pass to go, I would fly I would make it happen.
And I would go with you.
Yes.
I just want a hat. But I don't want someone to give
a hat
it to.
Online.
That's not what I want, Grant. I want to go and experience and buy my own hat.
All right.
Yeah.
So Doug Christie wants to go to Augusta to buy a hat.
Well,
I want to go watch the golf course.
I want to go and watch the golf.
Can you imagine how awesome that would be?
Oh, my gosh. That would be great.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, no doubt.
All right, 339-1140 is the local number. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We're with you right up till 7 o'clock, off day for the Kings. They will take on the Golden State Warriors tomorrow, and then the L.A. Clippers coming up on Sunday. Tracy Murray is the radio analyst. Was he ever a teammate of yours?
Yes, he was.
Really?
In Toronto.
Is that right?
We got two. Of my Toronto teammates on today, Tracy Murray and Damon Stoudemire.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Stoudemire was great when he played with Toronto.
Oh, man, rookie of the year.
He's really good.
From Portland. When I told you about when I started the summer league in Seattle, Jamal now does. I did it. Damon had a little thing going there, and we would meet up, Portland versus Seattle, go down, little gyms packed, and it was a lot of fun. Jerome Kersey came for Portland, and I brought my guys down. It was a lot of fun.
All right. So we will have Damon Stoudemire on a little bit later on the show. But again, Tracy Murray at 4:30, Damon Stoudemire at 5:30.
It's 3:55, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
All right, 1 hour down, 3 hours left right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.